Welcome to the Nokes Dynasty Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and we're going to do a bit of a snap reaction sort of storylines deal this week. It's an abbreviated week, so I'm going to sort of abbreviate the coverage. I'm recording all this stuff like early Sunday night, so I'm going to basically try and get half the games done Sunday night and then half of them done Monday, and then get you some waiver stuff and all of that, but sort of react to everything as a whole, kind of as I get the data. So it's going to be a little bit different format. It's going to be basically kind of a two-part week 11 snap reactions as opposed to a four-part positional one. This isn't really a week to figure out themes and all that nonsense. It's more of a week to try and figure out what the hell happened before it happens again really quickly. So I'm going to sort of change the focus on this. I think I did it last year too, and I'm going to do it this year again. So, all right, Atlanta and Chicago. Chicago loses 27-24 to Atlanta. Atlanta with a home win. Atlanta 5-6. Tyrell Algier and Cordarrelle Patterson split touches, basically, 10 routes apiece. It's 10 carries for Cordarrelle Patterson, 8 for Tyrell Algier. They both go 52 yards for Patterson, 55 for Algier. Patterson also scores the touchdown and the kick return, making him the best kick, the most kick return touchdowns in NFL history. So that's pretty good there. I think the big news here, a couple of things. Drake London, one catch, 2 yards, and a touchdown. That's like a Mike Evans line from a couple of years ago. But just not getting the volume. It's just kind of rough. Damir Bird, 2 for 29. This offense has got to be frustrating for, like, receivers generally. It's 131 yards receiving in the game, which is really tough. It's got to be frustrating. But Drake London doesn't step up in this one, but gets a touchdown, sort of saves your day. The big news, I think, from this game is going to be the fact that Kyle Pitts, read a couple of things here on Kyle Pitts. I'll just read them to you from people that are vastly smarter than me. Dr. Gene thought a potential bone bruise, 3 to 4 weeks plus potential, because it was a hyperextended injury. A hyperextension in his knee. But there's also a possible ligament injury. It could be a multiple ligament injury that could, have an extended absence. So we'll know more after an MRI on Monday. But sort of keep in mind on that would be the big thing that we're looking for. Chicago, 18 carries, 85 yards. That's not David Montgomery. That's actually Justin Fields. A touchdown. Justin Fields goes 14 for 21 for 153 in the air. I got to be honest. As a 3-7 team, seems like the wrong direction to be going. Fields has been great in this whole last run here. Right, he's been really good in terms of putting up fantasy points and the like. They've lost their last four. Again, they've put up a lot of points. So they put up in the last four games, they've put up 29, 32, 30, and 24, right? But they lost the last four. He has, I think it's 208 yards receiving is his high on the season. 208 yards passing is his high on the season. And you're going to be left with a big question of, what do we have? Right, what do we have entering year three, it's a lot to ask, right? And he's had more than 7 carries in every game this year, so this isn't a new thing. This is a season high for him, but he's had 7 or more carries in every game this year. The question I would ask is, what are you seeing development-wise from the passing game? And if you're not going to sort of see that, how sustainable is this long-term? Again, he carted off this week with a shoulder injury. It didn't look like it was something too, too serious, but, I think it's something we're going to have to just keep our eyes open for. It's a tough thing to do to sort of put your quarterback this much on the line. And it's in a spot where you're frankly not competing for anything, right? So that would be the thing that I would have some pause about. And I would like to see them get some more development out of him. But anyways, we'll just move on from that. David Montgomery actually leads them in receiving yards, 3 catches, 54 yards. Cole Kmet, 3 catches, 35 yards. Mooney scores a touchdown in this game, 4 for 29. Chase Claypool, 2 for 11 in this game. In terms of routes, Mooney runs 29 of 32. Equanimeous St. Brown runs 22 of 32. Chase Claypool runs 17 of 32. Velus Jones totally buried. He was 6th on the team in wide receiver snaps, was only 8, and he ran 2 routes. So totally buried there. Kmet and Montgomery basically running 75% of the snaps. 75% of the routes. They're running routes on 75% of dropbacks. So decent there. Again, that's not elite ceiling for a tight end, but that's pretty good. And then he's targeted on 4 of those 24 routes. So kind of aggregating is the profile from that type of shape of the numbers there. So the two big things coming from this game, Fields and Pitts. All right, next game up, we've got Philadelphia goes on the road to Indianapolis, comes from behind, scores 14 points in the fourth quarter to win 17-16. Jalen Hurts was okay. I'd be interested to see what the advanced numbers are here. He had like a 70 QBR, 107.1 quarterback rating. He actually ran 16 times for 85 yards and a touchdown. He threw for another one. Miles Sanders carries the ball 13 out of the 17 times that the running backs carry. It's about on par with what they typically do. So that's about right. So not a ton of surprise there in terms of how they split up that backfield. I still think if there was an injury to Miles Sanders, it would be probably Boston Scott ahead of Gainwell in the running game and Gainwell ahead of Boston Scott in the passing game. I don't think that that's kind of what it has been. This week they basically were an exact split, so they actually tracked back a little bit towards Boston Scott this week. But yeah, overall, I mean, I think that's what I would think. They'd probably both be like flex type plays. I don't think it would necessarily consolidate into one guy. Devonta Smith, 6 catches, 78 yards, 5 catches, 60 yards for AJ Brown. Quez Watkins as well, 2 for 31. He caught a touchdown. If you look at the split here, Devonta Smith ran all 30 routes, 27 out of 30 dropbacks for AJ Brown, and Quez Watkins, 18 out of 30. Pascal was in there for basically the remainder. You know, they almost basically ran 3 wide receivers on every drop back, and Zach Pascal was basically the entirety of the remainder there. Jack Stoll, this was a big one here. Jack Stoll, 21 routes to 6 for Grant Calcaterra. The snaps, 55 in favor of Stoll, 19 in favor of Calcaterra. Tyree Jackson kicked in 9 snaps. I think his first snap of the season, I believe it was. Don't quote me on this, but I'm almost certain it'll win you a bar trivia. I believe he picked up a penalty on his first snap of the season. So wasn't great, but he ran 3 routes, wasn't targeted. Calcaterra not targeted either. So Stoll only tight end to get a target on a total of 9, a total of 30 routes from the tight end position. So basically, one a drop back they ran. Stoll not getting the volume there to really make a streaming difference at this point. If there's going to be a guy, I think it's going to be Jack Stoll. I don't think it's going to be Jack Stoll at present. Next, and I heard as well that Dallas, that there might have been some good Dallas Goedert news as well, that he wasn't expected to miss the season. I know when he got injured, there was a question of whether or not it was actually a broken, like a, whether or not the shoulder bone was actually broken. So it does not appear that that's the case. And it looks like, according to some sourcing, Adam Schefter reporting, the only question is whether it's with 2, 3, or 4 games left in the NFL season. That's really good news. That's what we like to hear. 4 games left in the season would be a return in the beginning of our fantasy playoffs. So I was nervous. I have kind of moved. I could tell you a different game, but I think it's relevant here as well. I moved Waller for Joku, and it was kind of like, hey, I think I'm, I don't know how much I can really trust Waller the rest of the season. I don't know what they're going to be playing for, you know, whatever. And at least I'm going to get, I think, some competitive stuff from Joku. And at least he's sort of trending back and usable, and it's a usable, I mean, this is an important time to be usable as well. So I took that tact. I don't think I would do that with the possibility that Goddard's going to be back. I trust Goddard when he's back. I'm not trusting Waller right now. So that's kind of the difference there. So I figured I'd flesh that out. This would be maybe a better place for it than the Raiders one. So, all right, next up we've got the Colts, and almost another Jeff Saturday win. They tried, almost got there. Jonathan Taylor, 84 yards on a touchdown. He kicked in three catches for 10 yards there. So a decent fantasy day, but again, not showing the ceiling that I think a lot had hoped for. So that's kind of a bummer there. A little mix between Moss and Deion Jackson in the backfield there after Taylor. They each had Moss had two carries, one for Jackson. Jackson played 13 snaps to only four for Moss, so that's pretty clear the direction that backfield's going. I floated Jordan Wilkins back as well in a couple of spots and did a variety of different things because I think Deion Jackson's the injury away guy to own there. So that'll be this kind of story to watch for. The interesting part about this receiving core as well for Indianapolis, 36 routes for Pittman, 32 for Pierce, 28 for Paris Campbell. So Paris Campbell actually played a lot more routes. So he played six more routes than Pierce, but he ran four less routes. So a much higher percentage of his routes, of his snaps that he was playing, he wasn't running routes on. So I think that's an interesting one. Pierce, I think, is a little bit better of the receiving option. Basically a pure split between Mo Alie-Cox and Kylan Granson in the tight end game. Really tough to use either one of those guys. You're really just hoping for a touchdown. I was sort of forced into starting Granson this week. One for 16. I guess I'll take like 3.6 fantasy points from it in a premium format, but that's kind of what you're stuck with doing. That's really the, that's kind of the deal there. Pittman's wide receiver two type range there. And then, Alec Pierce, I think you're kind of hoping for a good end of the season run here on a developmental track. Next up, we've got the Patriots and the Jets. And this game set football back 50 years, maybe? I don't know. This was at least in the win game that was like, well, I think it was 10-3 or whatever the win game was where they played that crazy game in the wind up in Buffalo. At least in that game, they weren't trying to throw the ball. This one, they tried and actually didn't do it that well. Notably, like Mac, if you actually just take a step back and like just looked at the box score and just crossed off the, just looked at, the completions and the attempts, you'd be like, oh, all right, 23 completions, 27 attempts. Like, oh, all right, like that's pretty good. 246 yards. Wait, that's nine. It's over 9 yards an attempt. Like, that's actually pretty good. Six sacks, a QBR of 20. So you start looking at it, you're like, oh, I see what's going on here. The quarterback ratings bumps up because it doesn't really, penalize for sacks in the same way that QBR does. And it's kind of a blah type game. They end up coming back and scoring a touchdown on a punt return to end this game. That's what's there to report for them. Ramondre Stevenson, 15 carries, 26 yards, blah. He leads them in receiving, six catches, 56 yards, and he had six targets in this game. Damian Harris also 2 for 28 and 2. I think this is a Ramondre Stevenson job, but it's worth noting that when you take a step back and think about it over the longer term, it's really tough for a guy to truly consolidate in the backfield here. So Ramondre Stevenson, 49 snaps to 15 for Damian Harris. Like, that's as big of a split as you'll probably see. 25 routes for Stevenson, only 5 for Harris. 6 targets for Stevenson, only 2 for Harris, and it's 15 to 8 carries. And again, Harris had like a couple of big ones, so it balanced it out a bit. But I'd be interested to see if that creeps back together a little bit. But I think at this point, you trust Stevenson. And even like in a game where he doesn't get it on the ground, he gets away with it through the air. So I just think he's a diverse enough player that you feel pretty good on that, like low end running back one, high end running back two, depending on matchups and that stuff in a given week. Outside of that, receivers, I mean, Jacoby Myers just kind of doing Jacoby Myers things, 4 for 52, right? That's kind of what he does. Runs basically every route. Nelson Aguilar running 2/3 of the routes, 1/3 of the routes for Parker, Kendrick Bourne, and Tyquan Thornton. that's kind of where it's at. Jonnu Smith fumbled. That wasn't good. Hunter Henry, 26 routes. He had one target, one catch. Jonnu Smith, 11 routes. So that's a pretty consistent trend there. Four targets, and he had that one carry, which he fumbled on in this game. So pretty down the line in terms of what you think about it. Again, I like Harris as an injury away guy. I think they probably do something else at the receiving position, or at the running back receiving position, right? Getting the routes if Harris is in there. I doubt that he's sort of consolidating like 100% of that share would be my thought. The Jets, Zach Wilson's just pretty bad. He's pretty bad. By the way, I did note that PFF had a thing here that Damian Harris had actually started. So he played every snap on the first drive. I didn't see that until later on. It was he ended up playing basically kind of consolidating into that, and then it was Stevenson kind of really taking over after that. So just for what that's worth, I think Harris actually did get a start. The Jets, we'll turn over to that now. Zach Wilson's terrible. That's pretty much the takeaway here. I had some guy at the Jets-Bills game yell into my face that Josh Allen was a fraud after the Jets had won that game. I hope that gentleman is having an awesome day because, yeah, that was tough to watch, and I hope it was painful for him. He did run three times for 26 yards. That's nice. But nine for 22 in the air, 77 yards, four sacks. Not great. Didn't turn it over and didn't score a touchdown, which was actually those were both plus odds on the sports books, and both hit, which I think were the only two bets that I hit this week, was basically Zach Wilson betting that he would be sort of not have an impact on this game. And it was essentially the right bet, which was kind of nice. And that's the extent of the betting advice that you should probably take from this podcast after this week. Otherwise, Garrett Wilson, right? He's the starter. Nope, no shock there. Denzel Mims, 26 out of 29 routes, five targets in this game. And then Elijah Moore actually plays like a half work share, I guess. 16 routes out of 29 dropbacks. He gets four targets. Denzel Mims goes 2 for 35 and leads them in receiving. So pretty rough there. I think maybe if there's a potential buy low window or something like that for Garrett Wilson, I'm interested in something like that. But I suspect that's not going to happen. But I think like he's the type of guy that could be a rookie that you feel confident playing in the playoffs, right? Because the work share is really good. And he's terrific, but I'm not sure I necessarily want that to be against the Patriots, right? That would be kind of the takeaway from this. But hopefully there's better days to come from this offense, because this offense can be pretty good except for the quarterback. All right, next up, we've got the and by the way, just to report here on the running back usage here for this game, Michael Carter, 21 snaps on his own. It's 11 for James Robinson, 14 actually for Ty Johnson. Michael Carter, 14 to 11 on early downs. Ty Johnson's a third down back, basically almost in the entirety of it there. And then the two-minute drill, Michael Carter over Ty Johnson. They didn't get any goal line stuff to really tell for the running back position here. It's 13 routes for Michael Carter, only three for James Robinson. So eight carries for Carter, seven for Robinson. So I think the takeaway here is probably you have a little bit of skepticism about playing Robinson right now. He seems to be the one that has a little bit more vulnerable, workload on a given week. All right, next up, we've got the Washington Commanders and the Houston Texans. So Washington takes care of business and actually names Taylor Heinicke the starter after this game. And I was sort of toying around with this theory that I think I may have talked about this, so pardon me if I've already done it, if you've heard this, but Taylor Heinicke seems like the ultimate, like, good coworker, sort of lifts the performance of other coworkers, even if he's not necessarily that talented, right? As opposed to shitty coworker who kind of just tears everyone down, even though he's kind of better than the good coworker, is like just on a pure talent basis, kind of has the feeling of what it is. And they win, right? And like, I don't necessarily buy the idea of like quarterback wins being a reason to decide, but I do think that there is something to be said for quarterbacks that, you know, that elevate the performance of those around them. And it seems like that's kind of what's going on, more so than it is necessarily just even, you know, quarterback wins. You know, I think the vibes, right, if we're feeling vibes, I think the vibes are good with Washington. And I think that's something to never really forget about these things, right? So Carson Wentz is an example of a lot of things, but that is probably, you know, another one where you're like, okay, like this is a you know, this is definitely a situation where there's been a lot of smoke around him, and Heinicke has really shown like, hey, I'm not really that guy in terms of there being a ton of smoke, and like I put the smoke out basically, and you know, instead of it smelling like smoke, it smells like roses around here. That's kind of the feel that he has for this team. And heck, they're on a run. I wouldn't necessarily throw that out either. So pretty cool for them. McLaurin, Dotson, Samuel returning really to pre-Dotson injury type usage, I would say, right? You remember when we looked back at them early on in the season, it was really like they almost universally were running three wide receiver sets, basically. It was like, you know, almost all of their dropbacks, they had those top three guys running. Pretty close to that is a little bit of residual there. 23 out of 28 routes for McLaurin and Dotson, 21 for Samuel. So Samuel's 75%. The other guys are a little bit higher than that. And then it's 6 targets for McLaurin, 2 for Dotson, 2 for Samuel. And then in this game, it's only it's actually McLaurin goes 4 for 55. Dotson 1 for 13, Samuel 1 for 10. Samuel adds 2 carries and 18 yards on the ground, which is certainly valuable for him. McLaurin had a carry as well. Dotson had a carry. So they do a little of that, so you can get a little uptick from that. And again, I think this team, when you actually look at this, the team from last year, like when you look at what they did in terms of their – you know, that being limited, I think, offensively, talent-wise, right? But still were pretty good. And they were able to really maximize their stuff. I think that they are able – this is a team that can maximize their stuff this year too, right? Like, how do they do that? Well, with some of the receiving stuff, you get it out of the running backs out of the backfield, right? Or, you know, you use the running backs as – and they're somewhat built for this, right? They're somewhat – I mean, McLaurin was kind of a slash player. Like, Dotson was a bit of a slash player. You know, in college, right? It's kind of, they treated him to that, some of that stuff as well. So yeah, I mean, the fact that McKissick's out, they're kind of doing some of this stuff makes some sense. McKissick, by the way, IR for the rest of the season. And, you know, we hope best for him going forward. Notably in this game, 20 routes for Gibson, only 5 for Brian Robinson. They ran the ball 33 times between the two of them. It's 18 of 15 in favor of Gibson, about equal in terms of yardage there. And then, you know, I think that's probably what we're going to see, right? The two of them split and Gibson gets more of the receiving workload. So, and honestly, that probably helps him, right? Like that's probably what they're looking for in terms of not wanting him to be an every down back. Like they can kind of transition and say, okay, like you can still be, you know, a good back, but we don't want you to necessarily be an every down guy. And the way we do that, we bring in Brian Robinson to take off, you know, half of the workload. And look, we're without McKissick. You can sort of do that role better than Robinson does. You do that and, you know, McKissick base and Ryan Robinson basically spells you on the ground. It has basically been the other side of that for a while, probably because like there wasn't a good player, right? McKissick was the better match to actually be a pass catcher. And Gibson basically fit better as a rusher. And that's kind of how the pieces fit, which makes some sense there. The pieces fit the other way and we've seen them sort of adjust to that. So I do think that's notable. All right, Houston, there was like an early pick six, and this game kind of got away from them. 6 targets for Brandon Cooks out of 32. Again, that's more than 20%, right? Or that's right around 20%. It's right below 20%, I guess. 6 out of 30 would be 20%. So a little bit under 20%. He's targeted on 6 out of 33 routes. Again, that's a little bit less than 20%. you know, he goes 3 for 70, right? That's 10 points in PPR. I mean, is that great? No. But again, there's – like, I still think that it's going to come at some point that he'll get some positive touchdown regression. It just hasn't really shown up yet. And I could just be foolish betting on that. But that's – I'm just kind of betting on history sort of balancing itself out with this. And I'm hopeful for that to be the case. Like, again, maybe you don't necessarily put him in your lineup every week, but I still like the profile. And I think – probably next year is a better situation for him would sort of be my thought. Nico Collins leads them and routes, actually 34 ahead of Brandon Cooks is 33. It's 25 for Chris Moore. So that's kind of consistent where you're basically seeing a little reduction there on the Chris Moore angle. But he actually has 7 targets in this game as well. Nico Collins 5 for 48, Chris Moore 5 for 20, and then the 3 for 70 game for Brandon Cooks in this game. Damian Pierce, 10 carries, 8 yards. Ouch. 2 for 9 through the air. Ouch. Yeah, it's not great. That's not great. There was like a real strong push for him to be up in like the top 5 or so of startup drafts. Now it's kind of like, again, this isn't typically what we see from those guys. Got to be careful. And again, he's now slid, right? He's down at running back 9. Which feels a little bit more historically appropriate, is what I would say. All right, next up we have I did want to note as well, Logan Thomas, 19 out of 28 routes as well for them. So he had 6 targets, so a little bit of an uptick. Maybe he can be on the on the radar going forward in terms of potential start opportunities. All right, New Orleans and the Rams. We get to see some Bryce Perkins. Stafford taken out with a concussion, suffered a concussion in week 10, in week, I think it was week 9, missed last week, and then is out again in the concussion protocol now. If he suffered a concussion, like, this could be an extended absence. We watched John Walford be inactive this week with a neck injury, so Bryce Perkins comes in. We'll see. We'll see sort of what happens with this. It's not necessarily a great situation to come into. I almost wonder, like, with some of the stuff Perkins can do on the ground, if Perkins isn't a better, like, hey, just go out there and kind of, like, muck it up type of player. Not that, like, I think he's actually competent, and I've talked about him in, during preseasons. I've been a big Bryce Perkins fan. But he goes 5 for 10, 64 yards in this game. I actually live bet it because I was like, hey, he could go in there and sort of do some stuff. And, being down Stafford, like, it's clearly a downgrade. But if you just sort of put Bryce Perkins out there and he's just running around and doing different stuff, like, he could actually, you know, maybe provide a jolt and just be different, right? He's certainly not as good in the long term. But in the short term, maybe he could just mess with some stuff. It's him going 5 for 39 on the ground, again 64 yards passing. Hey, look, and I'm watching the Chargers game as this happened, and Justin Herbert threw a long touchdown. That's kind of nice. Sorry, I'm going to be doing some live commentary along the way as I'm recording this show, just because exciting game. But yeah, so Perkins, like, I'm interested in if him going forward, like, you know, is this an opportunity to try him out? Like, I've heard some smoke around Stafford that's not the greatest in terms of, you know, injured, or is this team going to kind of reset in the offseason? What's that look like? I mean, listen, they got to go to Kansas City next week. Then they go to Seattle. Then they're home against Seattle, home against Vegas. I got to go to Green Bay. And then home against Denver, and then at the Chargers to close out the season. Right, there's some bad in there. There's some good in there. So we'll see sort of what this looks like. I'm hopeful Stafford's healthy and can get back. But I wouldn't be surprised to see if he's on the shelf for a couple of games. By the way, he was better to start this game. He went 11 for 18, 159, and 2 touchdowns. I actually have a theory that if he's actually without his lead guy that he's so dependent on isn't maybe necessarily the right word for it, but he's so locked in on that. I think sometimes when that happens, you can really miss when you're just staring so much at the tree, you miss what's going on in the forest. And I think that's one of the things that I, with him, like, we've seen that. Like, Ryan Tannehill had a hard time, I think, with Jarvis Landry. He became so focused on Jarvis Landry that it was really you know, it was really a situation where you're like, okay, are you not sort of reading everything out, right? Is that sort of stunting your growth? And I could see a similar thing happening with Stafford, right? Just not looking around. It's just so locked in on Cup. And maybe the fact that the ball's spreading around, you get some better opportunities for some folks. You know, 4 for 47 and a touchdown for Robinson, 4 for 45 for Higbee. Tutu Atwell gets going, 1 for 62 and a touchdown. So all that's good. Like, that's good. Cam Akers has his best game maybe as a Ram, 14 for 61. He didn't score. I'm not even being facetious. Like, that's a really good performance for a guy that was felt like he was kind of playing himself out of the NFL like less than a month ago. I'm actually optimistic. 2 for 9 for Darrell Henderson, actually plays behind Kyren Williams in this game. So yeah, I mean, it doesn't feel great to start in any given week. Kyren Williams actually led them in snaps. He ran 24 of 36 routes in this game, only one catch, only one target. And he did have one catch for 8 yards. And Akers, 25 snaps to 4 for Henderson. It's 14 carries for Akers, 7 for Kyren Williams, 2 for Darrell Henderson. All the Kyren Williams work is basically in the 2-minute drill. Not all of it, but most of it. That's the reason why it was so much him, right? In a normal, in early downs, it's 23-8 in favor of Cam Akers. Short yardage, it's even. Third down work, it's Kyren Williams. But when you sort of look at some of the early down stuff, if you're not, you know, behind and trying to come back the whole time, like, you probably have a little bit better shot at Akers would sort of be the takeaway. But again, I have a hard time trusting anyone in this offense at any moment this season. And that's kind of my takeaway for this year. One of the better Andy Dalton games. Again, there was some talk that Andy Dalton was going to potentially be, you know, replaced by Jameis Winston. Listen, Andy Dalton's actually not that bad. He hasn't performed that poorly this year. They've probably are one game too far out to make a true difference, and they will be without a clear way to get a starting quarterback. So I don't know. I'm interested to see what happens with this going forward. I think there could be some of this back and forth between him and Winston here if he plays poorly, but like, he's been pretty good. If you say like, all right, like, what's, you know, basically what's the last like 12 quarters have been at any given point, it's been a pretty good experience for Dalton so far this year. So I am that stuff leaves me quizzical with some of the injury stuff, or, you know, with some of the, you know, the quarterback stuff there with Dalton. Some other stuff here. Juwan Johnson with a touchdown. So that's awesome. Again, high route participation. Pretty high route participation, more in that tight end, late tight end one, high tight end two type of range, 23 out of 32 routes, the four targets there. Olave and Rashid Shaheed and Jarvis Landry with the top three. Marquez Callaway and Traquan Smith are both way down the pecking order there. I think both are I think both are cuttable. Would sort of be what I would say about both of those guys. I think they can both be cut in, non 35 man roster or something like that. Like, they're just not getting used now that Landry and Olave are back, and you can move on, streamline those roster positions. Some additional notes here. David Johnson plays ahead of Dwayne Washington. It's probably going to make the waiver wire show is probably the thing I would say. So David Johnson ahead of Dwayne Washington, 10 snaps to 6 snaps for Washington. Johnson did run 7 routes as well and carried the ball once. So probably going to be able to cut Dwayne Washington, move on from him, and pick up David Johnson where we got him, or otherwise streamline your position. So that would be the big thing I'd look for there. And that's pretty much the news and notes from this game. So so next one up, we've got we have the Bills going to Detroit and playing Cleveland. That is, you know, a Great Lakes trifecta there between these teams, all bordering on the Great Lakes. The Bills get the win. It was not as close as it ended up being. I think there's a couple of big takeaways from this game. Joku's back. I think that's certainly a good takeaway to have from this game. Joku back, 2 for 17. So not great, but he's back, right? So that's, I think, an optimistic thing there. The other one, Amari Cooper, is awesome. 8 for 113 and 2. So feel real good about him going forward. Donovan Peoples-Jones, again, leading them in snaps. 30 out of 46 routes for David Bell. So, again, things pretty much the same. Not a ton of change. Joku only ran 19 routes on 46 dropbacks. Basically played a third of the snaps. They had 75 snaps. He played 28 of them. So, that is a... that's a number that I would expect would go up as we go along here. Same split, even split in the passing game for Chubb and Hunt, and Chubb had 14 carries to Hunt's 5. Not a ton of mystery there. Listen, Jacoby Brissett can move the ball, I think is the other thing too. 324, throws it 41 times, 3 touchdowns. Like, that's nothing to sneeze at. Bills got up. Brissett fumbled, right? So the Bills got up kind of early, and it was, the Bills got up, not early. Cleveland got up early. Then the Bills kind of just poured it on second quarter, third quarter, into the fourth quarter, got up 28-10. You know, they were basically down 10-3 and then scored the next 25 points is kind of how it went. So, but that, allowed Jacoby Brissett to try and move the ball. They scored 2 touchdowns in the last 4 minutes and 11 seconds of this game. But again, they started early too. So they did move the ball, but Buffalo just was better overall, really, in the middle portion of the game. And that was really the difference there. But again, I think Brissett's going to be officially interesting and officially on, super flex fringe type, one of the priority backups in the league, I think, for a while. He can move the ball. I don't think he's a great quarterback, but he can move the ball, and you see it like in a game like this, especially when they're down. And this is, again, one of those things where, like, if you have a decent system, I don't even think they're super talented on offense. Like, Amari Cooper's good. Donovan Peoples-Jones is, like, miscast as a 2, I think. So, like, again, like, that's not, like, if you're going to pick nits about a situation, like, that's one, like, to... that's like far down the line in terms of places you need to quibble about. But again, I don't think it's like a real good offense would have Amari Cooper as the 2, right? And Donovan Peoples-Jones as the 3, something like that. So again, I think Brissett's pretty good, right? So he's better than, frankly, Zach Wilson. So I'd be interested. And again, this system, you can put up points in the system, except if you're Zach Wilson. Yeah, so that's the thing. I think the big takeaway from this one, watch Joku's participation going forward. Good to see him back. Let's see that jump up to 75-80% next week. For the Bills, 18 for 27 for Josh Allen, 197. Importantly, no turnovers, which is good. No fumbles. He took 2 sacks, no interceptions, right? After, kind of getting right. Like, they didn't throw it a ton, but they threw it effectively. They actually ran more than they threw, which is interesting. 33 carries, 18 for Singletary, goes 18 for 86 and a touchdown. Effective, right? James Cook, 11 for 86. Doesn't score, but I think that's super encouraging if you're Buffalo. I'll tell you, if you're Buffalo, like if you're a Buffalo fan, there's really 2 things from this game that encourage me. Well, 3 things. Josh Allen didn't throw an interception, which is great. James Cook, like, looks like an added facet that they have to this offense, which is good. And Dawson Knox getting right, 7 for 70, right? Great. Like, those, like, again, we asked, I think I asked, I did the 16 questions or whatever, the 32 questions, and one of the things was, like, what's the next phase of this? Like, what after Diggs, then what? And you see Singletary being good. You see James Cook adding an element. Like, Dawson Knox was hurt. I think he came back and hasn't been himself, but comes back in this game and gets right. So I think that there's some really good things here coming from this offense for the second half of the season that, frankly, can help Josh Allen quite a bit. So I'm encouraged at the Dawson Knox development. Diggs kind of held down, 4 for 48 and a touchdown. Again, it's crazy that Diggs being held down is still a, you know, it's still a 16, it's still a 14.8 point game, right? Like, it's awesome. So, good for Diggs there, to basically, he was shut out early and then kind of came back a little bit as they sort of got better in the game. So that's good, for him there. Gabe Davis, 68 yards on 5 catches. He had 7 targets. So, so again, pretty, you know, economical game all around for this team. And, you know, could have, I think they kicked, let me just check this again, just so I have, make sure I have this right. They kicked, a bunch of field goals too. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 field goals in this game. So definitely moved the ball probably better than they got credit for in the overall score. So yeah, so that's the overall takeaway from this game. James Cook, I think, still is interesting. And if he's a buy low, kick in at the end of deals, I am interested sort of on that front. Okay, next up, we've got Baltimore and Carolina. So couple of overarching takeaways. Baker Mayfield's really bad at being a quarterback. I think that's a big takeaway. The other thing you can take away from this is that P.J. Walker should get his job back. That's the other thing I'd take away. So there's that. I'm watching for that. Deontay Foreman, again, well ahead of Chuba Hubbard. It's only 11 carries for 24 yards, though, so that's disappointing. But, again, I still have optimism about Deontay Foreman going forward. So that's encouraging. Terrace Marshall, 3 for 76. So that's actually a really good game for him so far. So that's good. 3 for 24 for DJ Moore. Not so great, but that's kind of what you're going to see in this offense, right? You're going to see this fluctuation. And when you have a bad quarterback, it's kind of bad, right? Which is something that we've lived with DJ Moore for a while. 38 routes, 39 dropbacks. Like, tough to really argue with that, you know? So, he just 5 targets. It just doesn't really go his way. It does go his way for Terrace Marshall. Terrace Marshall made like a big play down the field as well. So it's positive to see him, you know, trending in a good direction. That's good to see. Laviska Shenault still buried behind Shi Smith. That's really the big takeaways there from the position. Interested in buying low on DJ Moore, you know, a second, I would do it, right? Sort of something in the wide receiver 30 range. I'm interested in doing that for him. That's pretty much the takeaways there. They don't do much at tight end other than run 27 routes and not get targeted. All right, for Baltimore, I think the big thing that we're really watching for was, you know, what's the split at running back? No Gus Edwards in this game. It's Kenyon Drake, 35 snaps to 28 for Justice Hill, 13 routes for Drake, 12 for Justice Hill, 4 targets for Drake, 3 for Hill, 10 carries for Drake, 7 for Hill. I actually kicked Hill back in a spot where I had a roster crunch. It was a shorter one. I think I picked up Matt. I think Matt Breida was cut. I think that was why I did it. It might have either been him or Jamichael Hasty. And the reason why was simply I thought that, like, even if Gus Edwards isn't all the way back yet, he's going to be all the way back. So if Drake gets hurt, like, I think it's a Gus Edwards thing. It's a split there, at least, instead of it being a Hill one injury away type deal. So that was really the big rationale sort of for that. So just to give you an idea of kind of what I'm thinking at the position. Duvernay and Robinson, big participants there. Robinson goes 9 targets in this game on 30 routes. It's just a spectacular game. He might still be out there on your waiver wire. So if he is, I think he's a priority add, you know, after this game. Again, it has a little bit of the feel of like the Nick Westbrook Akina type of breakout from a couple of weeks ago, maybe even last week. You know, I would, like, the good thing about him is that he's participating a lot. And the bad part about it is like, we haven't seen it. Like, we have a lot of sample on DeMarcus Robinson not being this guy. But, you know, if you look at him over the past, you have this game of him going over 100 yards. But when you actually go back and look at some prior games as well, he's had his uptick, his participation had been increasing. And so far on the season, you know, he has, you know, last week it was 1 for 12, but the week before that, 6 for 64, 3 for 27 the week in week, what is that, 6, when he would have been when he was, you know, before their bye. I think he was out last week as well. So, like, we are seeing Like it, over his last three games before this, we saw 5, 8, and 4 targets. Again, it's not the most potent offense, but there's not a clear wide receiver one. So as a streaming candidate, like you can get some stuff like this from him. So that would sort of be my takeaway there. I think he's going to be a guy that you definitely want to get in and add, just because honestly, from route participation perspective, he's up there as well. So that's really the big takeaway there. 30 out of 37 routes and targeted 9 of their 31 targets. Mark Andrews back as well, 36 routes on 37 dropbacks. So again, he is really their wide receiver one. 6 for 63, doesn't score. But again, you just love that 18.3 points and 2 PPR. You just love that for him. So really good to have Andrews back, hopefully here for the stretch run, being a big time performer. All right, next up we've got Detroit and the Giants. The big takeaway from this game, Jamal Williams, man. This dude's awesome. He's up there amongst the league leaders in touchdowns. I haven't re-updated it. I know that he was like in the top. He had scored one every he basically averaged one a week. That goes up in this game, which is actually, you know, through 10 weeks, that's actually a really impressive statement. Both of those things, that he's averaging a touchdown a week, or, you know, a touchdown a game, and that his number goes up at this late end of the season. So that's pretty awesome. 12 touchdowns on the season, leads the league in running back rushing touchdowns. Yes, you heard that right. Jamal Williams, your league leader, ahead of Nick Chubb, ahead of Derrick Henry. And then it's a pretty big tier break after that. Chubb's got 11. Derrick Henry has 10. They've all played 10 games. And then Josh Jacobs is down at 7. That actually might be, I don't know if that includes, I haven't gotten to that game yet. I don't think that includes this week's game. But yeah, so there's that. So good stuff there for Jamal Williams. He's an every week starter. I tried to get cute and played Cordarrelle Patterson in front of him a couple times. Like it, you know, and I think in the spot that I did, I actually got the receiving touchdown. I'm not sure you get him in all your leagues, but I got that, or the return touchdown. Not sure you get that in all the leagues, but I got it in the league that I started him over, so that was good. But yeah, it made me pay a little bit. And so on the week, Jamal Williams, again, this is pending the primetime games. This might even be pending some of the later games too. It looks like Jacobs is actually in here, so maybe it did catch all the later games. I'm recording this at like 9 o'clock. Jamal Williams, 3 touchdowns. Again, he's running back 5 on the week. But crazy stuff in front of him: Pollard, Samaje Perine, Najee Harris, Derrick Henry, and then Jamal Williams. So David Montgomery also up there as well. So good stuff there for Jamal Williams. Every week starter, right on that running back 1-2 fringe there would sort of be my, would be how I'd value him. If you look on sort of the follow-on consequences, Justin Jackson playing ahead of DeAndre Swift again. Both ran 9 routes, which tied for the position high. There was 27 dropbacks in this game. Swift ran routes on 9 of them. Justin Jackson ran routes on 9 of them. Jamal Williams ran routes on 7 of them. And again, there was 37 carries in this game. So 2 of them were wide receiver carries. 4 of them were for Jared Goff. And then the remainder of them, which would be 31, was from the running backs. 17 of those carries went to Jamal Williams. Only 5 to DeAndre Swift. So feels like a pure it's tough to put him in a lineup right now. I traded him this week for Kittle. Right, I took Kittle for him this week and said I feel better about where Kittle's trajectory is, even though like I think DeAndre Swift in a perfect world could be a running back one type of candidate. I don't feel that right now, and I'm spooked. So I went to cash out there. I mean, I would use him if you can still get him as like a cash out guy for a quarterback, something like that. I'm interested. He's running back 11 right now in Dynasty. Right, I might be interested in buying him right now, and I would pay particularly close attention to what his cost is in the trade market this week. That'll be something that I think if you're not contending, I think you're interested in doing that. I think you're probably, he's a make a dynasty trade type player for him. Like that's kind of the, when we say that phrase, right, make a dynasty trade, I think you make a dynasty trade for a guy like Swift and, you know, kind of independent of your contending situation. So I would try and do non-core assets for him. It'd sort of be the thing I would think about. You know, some situational stuff for him would be something that I would think about. I wouldn't trade. Like, I would certainly rather be You know, if I'm trading guys for example, Swift right now, if you there's some picks in there too, so you got to be careful. But let's call him a top 40 asset, right? Over at Keep Trade Cut. If I'm trading amongst the top 40 guys, I want the guy that's not Swift, right? Assuming it's about the same cost, right? Assuming that they're about equal players, I want to take the guy that's not Swift. If I can pay two guys outside the top 75 for him, I want to be on the Swift side, right? That's kind of the way I would think about a deal like this. So, and I assume that he's going to slide. So you got to be really be careful if you're trying to catch a falling knife that you're not doing it in a way that actually gives up a lot of certainty, right? That's the key with a trade like this. Don't pay a big price for a falling to catch a falling knife. So there's that. Let's see here. What else we got for this game? Amon-Ra St. Brown, 25 routes, 27 dropbacks. Khalif Raymond up there again participating. Big participant, 24 routes, 27 dropbacks. Again, so that's he's basically their wide receiver too, which is kind of weird considering that they came in with, I thought, a pretty good wide receiver core. No offense to Khalif Raymond, but the fact that he's gotten all the way here is interesting. DJ Shark played 11 snaps, 5 routes, so kind of working his way back in. You know, so we'll see how this offense evolves. Is this a team that, I can't believe I'm going to say this, are they still in the playoff hunt in the NFC? They get the Bills on Thursday. We'll see there. Get Jacksonville. They get the Vikings at the Jets, at the Panthers. They get the Bears at home. And the Packers. Like, there's a lot of winnable games in there. I can't believe I'm saying this out loud. Do I have futures of the Lions to go to the playoffs? Yes, I do. Am I keeping my optimism alive? Perhaps. However, they are 10th in the races there. And teams that are ahead of them include Atlanta, Washington, and then the 49ers. Like, it seems eminently plausible for them to get to 8. I think it's going to be a lot harder for them to get to 7. However, keep in mind, they just picked up a tiebreaker on the Giants. So Giants are 7-3. If they begin to slide and the Lions can sort of make a charge down the stretch here for some of these games that can win, right? If you can get to 9-8, something like that down the stretch here, and they start to get sort of in that same range as the Giants, they have the tiebreaker, so wouldn't be impossible to see here over the rest of the season. And when you look actually strength of victory, which is a metric that ESPN has, they're 0.465. That's actually ahead of that's ahead of the 49ers. That's ahead of the Giants. Ahead of the top three teams in the conference as well. The teams that are better than them in the NFC in terms of strength of victory are Tampa Bay, Dallas, actually, they're tested. And one below them is the Packers, actually. So I'm not ruling it out. It's going to be tough to get to 7, would sort of be my thought. It'd be tough to get to 7. But again, if you're not a 49ers believer, if you're not a believer in the Commanders, it would be, I think it's possible the Lions could make a charge here. So I'm rooting for it. Restore the roar, baby. All right, so that'll move on from the Lions there. The Giants, somewhat significant things here. So Isaiah Hodges plays the third most routes for them, and he runs 27 routes on 48 dropbacks. Who cares? Well, Wandale Robinson got hurt. So this is a spot where you kind of wonder what's the next phase. If Wandale Robinson's out, are they going to tread back to Richie James? Richie James ran 13 routes in this game. He had been way down in terms of route participation. So when you actually add up Wandale Robinson and Richie James, you get to 46 out of 48 dropbacks. So that's good there. You know, that could be a spot where James can actually get back into playing some fantasy relevant stuff here. Again, is this a team that's going to drop back to pass 48 times in a game ever again? It's not what they aspire to be, I do not think. So that would sort of be my the thing that would hold me back on them, if anything. Some notable things here in terms of their actual tight ends, which is actually interesting. Lawrence Cager. So Lawrence Cager actually leads them in snaps ahead of Tanner Hudson. So I didn't see a Tanner Hudson injury, which is the only thing that I am wondering if there was a Tanner Hudson injury, but I haven't seen anything on it. So just keep an eye on that. But Lawrence Cager comes out and makes a good impact for this team. And again, we're waiting for the Daniel Bellinger return, but Lawrence Cager is a played at Miami and at Georgia. A little bit of a journeyman, was with the Jets, the Browns, the Jets again. Was on the practice squad and then got activated. Undrafted free agent out of I guess he actually was technically out of Georgia. He played, I think, 4 years for Miami, and then he came out of Georgia. So a little bit of a journeyman guy here, but he comes in and actually has a big participation in this game. He's a name that I'm going to keep an eye on with regards to the Tanner Hudson. I don't know if Tanner Hudson was hurt. I haven't seen that yet. So it's not like ESPN's leading their news section with any Tanner Hudson injury news. But I'll keep an eye on that, and Daniel Bellinger returning. Like, we'll watch for that as well. In terms of where they are at. So that'll be that. And again, maybe Cager warrants some roster addition in like your two PPR formats or something like that. All right, Barkley, 29 routes to 9 for Breida, 6 for Brightwell, and it was actually Breida, 3 carries of the 18 carries out of the backfield. It's funny because Barkley, I heard a stat this week. It was like some absurd stat, like in the history of like the NFL or something, that where it was like after 10 weeks, the team that, faced, you know, that had given up the most rushing yards facing the running back that led the league in rushing, like the running back that led the league in rushing obliterated them. Of course, there's probably some correlation there about that team actually being really good too, right? The teams that run the ball a ton are able to really run the ball well, right? Because they're winning, and because they're good. I don't think this team is quite that type of calculus, but yeah. So there's obviously a little bit of bias in that type of stat, but they hold them down. It's a game effort from the Lions, and they hold Barkley to 22 yards on 15 carries. If you'd bet anyone that, you would be a very, very rich man. That's it. So, and then, yeah, Wandell Robinson, 100 yards receiving, but hurt, and it looks like it's not good. So, Kenny Galladay, 2 for 29. Don't be fooled. All right, so that'll do it for the first edition, or the first part of this. I think that takes us through the early games. I'll loop back around. I'll have to do the Thursday night game. I'll lead the next podcast with the Thursday night game reaction, and we'll have that in there. And then I'm not sure I'll get to the Sunday night game. I'm going to try and record this tonight so I get it out for you on early. So you'll have it. Hopefully have a ton of content by Monday. And I'll have the Thursday night game in there. I'm not sure I will have the Sunday night game in there. We'll get that reacted to at some point here over the week. So there's that. Again, I'm going to sort of try and get you some waiver stuff early. I'll get you some trade stuff as well, and trying to get that stuff out to you as early as I can sort of this week. So, all right, that'll do it for this edition. Okay, and be on the lookout for part 2 of your week 11 reactions. Until next time, continue embracing the variance. We'll talk again very soon.